This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 15, 2014, Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I believe in God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in God. For I believe in one God is the start of the creeds that we hear most often in the churches. Hope you believe in God if you're sitting here today. That's a good starting point if you come to church, believing in God. But does it really make any difference what God? Does it make any difference because we hear a lot in our life, well, they just worship the same God we do. Do they really? They, whoever they may be. When we say, I believe in God, in our creeds, we truly as Catholics believe in the Trinity. Today is the feast day of the Trinity. God has presented himself as a Trinity throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament. The Trinity isn't a New Testament concept. He's there at the time of creation, throughout the Old Testament, the building of the Ark of the Covenant, in the New Testament in all his fullness, but God has always revealed himself as a Trinity. God emphasizes the fact that we need to worship him as he has revealed himself to us. We cannot, well, I don't understand that, so I don't have to embrace it. Wrong. Doesn't have anything to do with cognitive understanding. Cognition is just that, understanding in your mind. We are not people of understanding, we are people of faith. Faith is hope in things that are not seen. That's faith. We embrace things in faith because that is our test why we're here, to embrace things in faith. It's interesting, and it's not a liturgical accident, the Trinity Sunday falls the Sunday after Pentecost. Why? Because immediately after the descent of the Holy Spirit on the church, immediately the disciples started preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Interesting, in that Great Commission, when our Lord explicitly gives us a formula for baptism. I mean, there's other formulas for baptism in the Scriptures, but our Lord gives us one explicitly. That's why the church uses the one she does. He says, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice it's not names, plural, in the names of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I don't get that. Good. Not supposed to. I don't either. All right? We're not supposed to because he's God and we are not. We have to understand that. That's the beauty of this whole thing. That we serve a God that we cannot comprehend. The denials of the Trinity usually are the result of, well, that's just ridiculous. That defies reason. Yes, it does. It's supposed to, because reason is a part of this created order. God transcends that. You know, my old adage, if I can explain God, I can sleep in on Sunday mornings. I don't have to put all kind of work into this stuff. It's just whatever. That's not what it is. We have to believe in God the way he's presented himself. So it does really matter, because you get posed that question in our day and age, a day and age of relativism, does it really matter? They worship the same God. No, they don't. That's not me saying that because I'm some kind of a hard case. That's our Lord Jesus Christ saying that. When he's talking to the religious leaders of his day, religious leaders who believe in God, who believe that they were created by God, who were the sons of Abraham, our Lord Jesus Christ looks at them and he's talking about his teaching to them, and he says, and this is the second person of the Trinity speaking, the reason you do not hear is that you are not of God. That's a bold proclamation for our Savior to make to the Pharisees. They're the Jewish leaders of the day. They worship the same God, right? Obviously not. Obviously not, because of the words of our Savior. I quote again, you don't understand because you are not of God. Just within the past week, I've had a discussion with somebody who, well, and he was confronted by someone from somewhere else who said, they were talking in the context of a non-Christian religion. They said, oh no, the catechism teaches that they're okay because they have Abraham as their father. John the Baptist, before Jesus' earthly ministry, even said, he looks at him and he's up in their face. Don't even go there with this I'm child of Abraham thing. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. It doesn't matter your ethnicity, your culture. It doesn't matter. It matters of you embracing in faith the triune God. So you can read something in the catechism and on its face it can make it sound like, but read on. Read on. Because in paragraph 847, and this is the scary part of this whole deal, in the catechism, this is where the, again, where the, this is the quote, speaking of these non-Christian religions. Those two, and I emphasize, may achieve eternal salvation. They may achieve eternal salvation. The thief on the cross, he didn't go to RCIA, he wasn't baptized, he's the first in heaven with Christ. Today you will be with me in paradise. So God will work as he works. But generally speaking, you don't want to put your eggs in the basket of those who may achieve eternal salvation. I like that, so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all that believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I like things like, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, not may. It's your eternal salvation. May, I would not put my eggs in that basket. And you cannot read the catechism and interpret it in a way that contradicts the creeds of the church. Today's Trinity Sunday. It is tradition on Trinity Sunday to read the Athanasian Creed in church instead of the Nicene Creed. And when we stand for the reading of that creed, listen closely to the words of that creed. It is very objective and it is very explicit. And it is almost in toto Trinitarian. And when I say it addresses, there are parts of it that address our Lord, but the vast majority of that creed address the Trinity and the necessity of Trinitarian belief. It is important. It does matter. Because it's a difference between reason and faith. The Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, in the first the letter that he writes to Timothy, he speaks of God and he describes God as who is alone, has immortality, and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen nor can see. It's good that you don't get it. Because if you think you get God, we got to talk. Because he is transcendent. He is the creator. You're the creature. He is infinite. You are finite. You ought not get him. This is not an exercise in understanding objective facts. It's about faith. This whole idea of the Trinity, this whole inconceivable concept is supposed to be like that, because when you start to approach, you, I just can't get this. That's when God is communicating to you, yes, indeed, you can't get it, because you can't get my majesty. You can't get my wisdom. You can't get my power. And I would submit to you more, even so, you can't get my love. You cannot understand my love for you. The Trinity is inscrutable. It is sublime. We don't get it. It cannot be explained. It defies reason. You shouldn't be able to understand it, but our Lord even helps us out a little bit in something else that we have trouble understanding, and that's in the Eucharist. It's in the Holy Sacrament of the altar. Because that's a manifestation of this eternal power, wisdom, and love of God. This transcendent power, wisdom, and love. The Eucharist is the highest expression of divine power. So how's that? Transubstantiation. That understanding that when the words of consecration are said, that bread and wine no longer exist. Still looks like bread, still looks like wine, but it's not. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, something else. How do you get? You don't understand it because it's transcendent God's power who makes that happen. The mystery of that Christ's body exists, the same body of Christ exists in a bunch of different places, that he enables humans to confect this sacrifice of the altar, that he truly strengthens you through your reception of that. You're not supposed to understand it, that it's something tangible that you can see, just a little inkling of this, I don't get this, but it's real. That's what he does for us. That is transubstantiation. And what I just explained, guess what? That is also a necessity. It's not an option. The Catholic Church has always taught and believed that bread and wine no longer exist, that it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Catholic Church is always teaching. Guess what? You've got to believe it to be a Catholic. You've got to believe it. It's dogma. The pinnacle expression of God's divine wisdom is to be found in the Eucharist. In the Incarnation, you think about it. Incarnation, Bethlehem, the Christ child, and then Christ's earthly ministry. Interesting to look that human nature exists without a human person. He was a human person. He was the second person of the Trinity. He was the God-man. He assumed flesh. He took flesh upon himself as God. He was not born like you and I were born. So human nature exists without a human person. That's the same way we see bread and wine up here, and it's not bread and wine anymore. Just like his human nature existed without his human person, bread and wine still exists because it's held together by the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes our minds to a spiritual realm. That's what the Eucharist is for, to drag you away from this world and put you in the spiritual realm, in a little way into the realms of heaven. Our minds are raised from the material and they are attained to purely spiritual considerations. His wisdom and power are one thing, but I said most importantly, we got to understand the ultimate expression of his love. God communicates his love to us through history, through creation, through the incarnation, through grace that he shows us, the fact that you're sitting right here right now. He's manifest his love to us by doing things like that. But in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, now we feed upon the very body of Christ. Think about that. The universe cannot contain God Almighty, and he condescends to place himself in a little piece of bread and in the chalice, and then allows you to take divinity within yourself. That is a manifestation and the ultimate expression of God's love. We are enabled to respond to this love that runs through infinity of space and time by the Eucharist. When we say in the Mass, and here every time we come to Mass, we hear, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, that is objective fact. Because during the Eucharist, the barriers of time and space go away. And you are with the ones whom you lost decades ago, a couple years ago, recently. You are there with them in a very true and a very objective sense. That's what it's there for. You know, as I said, the time and barriers of space go away during the Eucharist. For that one brief period of time, again, our minds are taken up. So when you come to Mass, you know, think about this. When you know, if you contemplate the Trinity every now and then, the Trinity talk, here we go again, the Trinity talk, I don't get that, nobody gets that. That's the point. We're not supposed to get it. Because when we don't get it, we understand that we cannot get how wise he is, we cannot understand how powerful he is, and we cannot understand how much he loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.